You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Now, I am Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with Kylie Bracknell, an accomplished actress, TV presenter, public speaker, writer, director, and producer from the Noongar region in the southwest of Western Australia. And we're catching up today because Kylie has just won a prestigious arts award, the Sydney Meyer Performing Arts Award. First of all, congratulations, Kylie, on such a prestigious award.
Thank you so much. Still surreal.
How does it feel winning a prestigious award like this? Because in the presentations I heard, it's your first award, and thrilled to be honoured with such a prestigious one on the first.
Absolutely, that's definitely the case. How do I feel? Like I mentioned just now, it's still surreal. And for it to be an individual award sort of makes me chuckle a bit, because nothing in life is individual. We're raised to know that we are who we are because of the people that have brought us into the world and nurtured us from a young age. But these people, my mentors and family, also remind me that as much as they can support me or any individual, the individual still has to make a choice. So I guess I'm just really glad the steps that I've taken and the collaborations that I've been a part of, and to get me to this surreal place. And, of course, I'm incredibly grateful. Yeah, lots of gratitude in my court, in my heart right now.
The judges say that they recognise by awarding these recognitions that they recognise past achievement but also give consideration to the potential of an individual or group to continue their contribution to Australian society through the performing arts. But in your case, well, you've been doing this in the last 20 years and a bit, and producing quite groundbreaking shows and performances and so on. Take us through some of the ones that you've produced, actually. I wouldn't want to miss the most important ones.
I think the most important theatre work was the one that I directed last year for Perth Festival, and it was called Hecate. Actually, it's an adaptation of Shakespeare's Macbeth into Noongar language, and it was the first time, still is the first time, that any Shakespeare work in its full form has been translated and presented on stage in one Australian language all the way through. That idea was conceived by Kyle J. Morrison, who's the former artistic director of Yuriyarkin. So during his tenure, Yuriyarkin took on and supported the project right through to fruition. And that project had a massive social impact output. It was something that I'm very passionate about, in ensuring that the work that I'm involved in speaks volumes, not just through the artists and on stage, but into community. And this project, being a language reclamation project adjacent to putting on this first time work, exercised a lot of that. That's probably my biggest work that I've been a part of. But throughout history, I've been a part of really important stories, performing in the Sapphires, for example, and getting to know the original Sapphires, the aunties, and working with them at the Redfern Aboriginal Medical Service for a while as well. So again, it's about a particular person's or people's story, but there's a social impact output. And these are just some of the examples of the great leadership that I've been around and had access to grow me into the artist and the person, the woman that I am today. And in terms of Bertrand, the future encouragement, I guess, for the award, I'm feeling a bit pressured now to do something just as good in future years, but I'm pretty confident I can. But yeah, there's lots of other works that I've been involved in. I spent 11 years at Yuriyarkin. I started there as a 17-year-old, actually, and I took my pro rata long service leave when I was 27 for the company. So I certainly learnt a great deal there, not just performing on stage or the script side of things and producing the work, but working in the company and having those strong connections and ties to community. So I'm incredibly grateful for the pathway that I've had to date.
Yeah, and another great work that you're not mentioning that's actually worth mentioning is the first feature film to be dubbed in an Australian language, Feast of Fury in Noongada.
Yeah, I guess I should mention that one as well. First of its kind, never before has any feature film been translated into an Australian language, if I can say that. So that was Noongar, the Noongar language from the southwest of Western Australia. The idea was inspired by the Navajo Star Wars project. I guess I chose Bruce Lee because I knew that it would speak volumes through all generations here and across the continent and around the world. And I really admire his philosophy and the way that his actions spoke just as strongly, if not more, than his words. Based on that, I thought it would be a good film, or one of his films, rather, would be a good film to translate. My colleague did say, "How, you know, would you consider doing an Australian film?" And my response to that was, "Well, I don't want to be seen to have too much favouritism over some of my most favoured filmmakers and storytellers. So let's just go with something a little more international and something that, yeah, all of our mob can relate to without feeling like they weren't considered." But yes, it was an incredible, again, another social impact project where we got in a full new cast, similar to Heckett, to embody and amplify our endangered Noongar language. Seldom do our artists have an opportunity to do that. And if we can't do that through the arts, where can we do it? Because it's really difficult to be us outside our houses, in the street, in community, unless we're all together. And those types of events only happen through sorry business or special landmark events during the year. NAIDOC, for example. So Fist of Fury Noongar Dal was very much about celebrating the generation of Noongar community who grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, and the 80s for that matter, who missed out on language, and to try to pay homage to them, to pay homage to some of the older people that are trailblazers in keeping Noongar language alive, and then give an opportunity for Noongar actors, performers, or wannabe performers, to just come in and have a bit of fun with language in a safe environment. It's enclosed. It's just a studio. There isn't an audience, a live audience like the Heckett cast had. So it's a really good project to invite emerging speakers in, or emerging artists who want to know a little bit more about Noongar language. And that project's recorded in time now. So I guess the future of that work is going to be really interesting. We're discussing now how we make it accessible. And there are a couple of festivals that are interested in celebrating the work as well. So, again, really grateful for the attention and the support that these projects in particular are getting. And I really hope that it inspires other mob around the country to embrace their language just as much, and hopefully more.
It's great you say it's about art, but it's also most importantly about reviving language. It's not just art for the sake of art. It's also about reviving language.
Language is a part of our frequency as First Peoples. It's a part of the frequency of connection we have to every living entity, and there's so much metaphor and beauty and story that's embedded in that. And the thing that makes me really teary is the people over time who have been like equivalent to the Albert Einsteins in our world, to probably appear a little bit cartwheel or crazy to others, but actually they've been in tune with that frequency for a very long time. They understand the stories in this land and the frequency and in the trees and the birds and all of the things that are here to support us to keep life fresh and vibrant. Some of those people I've had the pleasure to share journeys with, and they're no longer here, and some of them are still here, like Barry Maguire, who's been a long-time inspiration for me as an artist and a language speaker and a cultural caretaker. And that's why I was thrilled to collaborate with him on Sister Fury Noongar Dal, and I'm really grateful that he accepted the invitation to be a part of that. So yeah, language is definitely, that was another deciding factor in choosing Bruce Lee as well, because it's the language of physicality, the language of your body and your physical expression. He, as an artist, spoke about physical expression through his martial arts and his physical forms. And that's something that I know that our First People can relate to in terms of living off the land and their physical form to hunt and gather. And to survive in this terrain.
Yeah, having said that, can you tell us more about some other considerations that made you choose Macbeth for that groundbreaking initiative of translating it in, of adapting it in Noongar language?
It is a tough one, and the simple response to that is I didn't actually choose it. And that's what made it really interesting for me to adapt it, because I couldn't relate. I guess the choice of that work, not because I don't think it's a great work, I was actually quite fortunate in the end because it's the shortest of Shakespeare's works, so I didn't have as much dialogue to work with the adaptation. Carl Dan Morrison is passionate about so many things, and in particular, he tends to dabble on the dark side a little. And to me, that's not alarming. To me, that's covering a side of things that is a balance to the light. So what I brought to that was a little bit of light and also a diversion, really. We sat in a room, myself, Kyle, Kate Mulvaney, who became the dramaturg on the project, and it's just somebody from WA who we really admire and respect with Shakespeare, and Pete Evans, the artistic director of Bell Shakespeare. The four of us sat in the room and we read through the script, and I asked Kyle to share, I guess, his passion around the work. He'd said for a long time it was one of his favourite works. I think if you look at a work like Macbeth, there are obvious markers in community that are relatable to so many of that. The greed, the power, the undermining, the two-faced kind of attributes of this character and other characters for that matter. The family and loyalty factor. I mean, Shakespeare was so brilliant at speaking to relationships and what it's like to be a human being. So I guess for Kyle, he wanted to bring that forth and stage it in a way where we can make it relatable to us. And I simply said, well, what if we made it relatable in an original context, like pre-colonization, but also tapping into some of that and showcasing it in a way where it's through the strength of who we are as a people and the frequency to the spirituality and the feminine side, because this is very much about honouring matriarchal energy to this place just as much as a patriarchal energy, because it's quite balanced here in Yuma country. And so in that script read, I started to gravitate toward Hecate more, completely inspired by some of the strong, resilient, amazing trailblazer women that I've been around, from the Lynette Narkles at Yuriyarkin back in the early mid to late 90s, and then prior to that with the Kathleen Yarrant and the Janet Collards and the Janet Haydens and the strong women of this community, including my grandmother, Pat Farmer, that have taken different routes to their strength, but each together create this powerful force of nature, I guess, to sound cliche, to, you know, bring highlight again back to those relationships and human beings and what pathway and connections for each other are we carving out. And so to gravitate toward Hecate was to remind everyone of the strong connection we have spiritually to this place, and to also honour women in that play. There aren't many female characters. There aren't many female characters in a lot of works from that time. So that inspired the adaptation as well. And Kyle and I, you know, spent some really good time in a room, just the two of us, with butcher's paper all over the wall, discussing and exploring and exhausting ourselves on all of the angles we could approach this. Kyle was originally supposed to direct it. I felt like I had enough on my hands to adapt and translate, co-translate with my husband, Clint Bracknell, and have the incredible Roma Yibiyong-Wima edit for us, another amazing woman that I feel privileged to be in her company day to day. And Kyle and I really went on a journey ourselves and arrived at, because we don't agree on everything all the time, Kyle and I, but that's what, I guess, creates great work. And when I say exhaust all options, that's what we do in conversation, and we question each other's thought process, we question each other's motivation around a character choice or a merge of something, and it's nice to know that you're in a room with someone as honest as that, and they're not going to let, you know, any stone go unturned in terms of the creative process, so that we can arrive at, you know, something as great as Hecate. And it was Kyle that said to one of the producers at Yuriyarkin, look, I need to talk to Kylie. I feel as though she'd be better directing this, and he wanted to be on stage, and I was thinking the same thing away from each other. So when we came to each other to meet about this, neither of us knew, and we were both a bit anxious about how the other would feel, but again, we were still honest with each other. And I'm so thrilled that Kyle ended up on stage in this work, because as far as I'm concerned, he's the best Noir performer of Noir language today, and I'm glad that I could do it justice as a director and make my Noir community first and foremost really proud. And I'm still quite humbly surprised and grateful at the response that the wider community has had to this work. Yeah, you know, the saying that we stand on the shoulders of giants is very true, and I'm really proud that I've been involved in, you know, companies like Yuriyarkin for 11 years, and I've performed for companies like Belvoir and been involved in their operations and been involved with them as an associate artist and spent some time at Bell and Sydney Theatre Company and lots of theatre places to be able to have a wonderful palette of inspiration and motivation to create a work of that magnitude.
Before I let you go, I'll just quote one of your statements in receiving these awards and ask you to comment on this. You say that arts and culture is my blood type and I'm a regular donor, hopefully saving a few lives and encouraging vitality. Can you comment on that for us?
Did I write that? Yeah. I did write that. It's kind of how I feel. I wanted to draw everyone back to the obvious point that our blood is all the same colour, and art is life. It is something that has been embedded in Noongar culture, absolutely, but many First Peoples culture here and around the world. Art has been a part of our everyday since we can remember. The art of nature and how it inspired William Shakespeare and how it's inspired lots of other playwrights, for that matter, in order to write characters that speak to relationships, and not just relationships between two people or a few people, but the relationship to nature itself is life. You know, people take vacations, if they're not in the arts anyway, from their profession to escape to nature, to rejuvenate, to replenish, to be motivated, or just, you know, be healed. Nature is very healing, and our people have the frequency of tuning into nature, and what that is life. So living and breathing is life, and your core, you know, your heart is sharing that blood through your body so your physical expression can happen. Trying to, I guess, be poetic, but also, you know, not lose the connection that we have to how our hearts beat. And it links into Shakespeare's pentameter, but it also links into the early creation of life. When you're a mother and you hear your baby's heartbeat for the first time, that sound also connects to the ancient sounds of how we practice our ceremonial songs and dances. So long before William, you know, that white fellow that's been gone for 400 however many years, but that blood is something that is with us and that is in this land, in this country. It was surreal writing that, actually. I was on a country. I was down in Esperance with my family doing some field work down there. And, you know, there was talk about some project. I won't mention the location or artists or any of that sort of thing, but I guess I wanted to flip the whole blood thing on its head and just bring it back to a positive, more optimistic outlook. But no, I definitely feel like I'm a donor day to day with the arts, and I'm also continuing the social impact outside of any projects that I'm doing. And I keep in touch with a lot of the artists that I've worked with and that I appreciate having relationships with and shared artistic and friendship history with. And some of them need that. You know, as artists, we are empaths. We wear our hearts on our sleeves, the very organ that pumps our blood through our body. And often a lot of artists do feel like they need a bit of a donation of blood to give them a bit more life. So, you know, I try to be that for people because I know people like that have been there for me in the past. So I guess, Bertrand, like most things I speak to, they're generally quite textured and layered. Because of the teachings I've had, I know that nothing is surface level. And we've never been that way as a people, so that quote for me was very much about the art, yes, but life and giving, not just making it about the individual, which is, again, you know, a little bit of a chuckle about the award, but of course very grateful and honoured to be acknowledged for the work that I contribute to, not just on stage and in the art spotlight, but for the artists and emerging artists and community who are a part of that world as well. And I guess they're just waiting for their chance to be a part of that in some way.
Thank you, Kylie Bracknell, for talking to us, and congratulations again.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for celebrating this surreal occasion with me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.